Hello and welcome to another episode of Manual Mode. I'm Mariah Sautel and today I'm talking with Roberta of Healthy Little Cravings. She's a food photographer, blogger, and photography educator based in Palma, Italy. Roberta is a maven in the kitchen, you can tell based on her stunning images, and has a self-proclaimed obsession with baking. Roberta has an impressive list of clientele, including, but not limited to, Nikon, Adobe, Samsung, and Barilla. Her eye for detail is impeccable, and lucky for us, she generously shares her wealth of knowledge through her social channels and her food photographer education program. I can't wait for you to hear more of her story today. So hi, Roberta. Thank you so much. You are my first international interview on the podcast. Wow. So this is very exciting. And I am really curious. You are such an amazing photographer and you clearly have such a creative eye. So what was your career like before food photography and how did you go from that to where you are now?
You know what? To be honest, I never started working after university. I don't know if that is weird or what, but after university, I was studying in Milan in, let's say, 10 years ago. And I finished in 2015 after my master. So after university, I basically got an internship, a very short internship, with a food startup. But after that, my dad got sick and I returned home. So I basically lost every contact that I had in Milan and it was a little bit difficult to go back at my parents' house. And after that, it was a pretty difficult moment for me because I was not depressed, but I think that I was almost, you know, in that limbo, can I say? I don't know, but I was really not sure what I wanted to do with my life in general. I was really confused. And in that moment, it was 2016, I decided to just share my recipes online on my blog. I actually started on Instagram and I just started. In the meantime, I was doing something else, a project that was not related with food or photography at all. But again, it was not something that I wanted to do. I was really confused. But in the meantime, I started, and it was just in 2018, actually, that I realized that I needed something to stand out, because I knew that there were a lot of blogs out there already, because I don't know if you know it, but here in Italy we are a little bit behind compared to you in the US at least. So bloggers, for example, don't make a lot of money. I know instead that in the US it's a pretty big thing, you can make six figures with a blog, so we are a little bit behind. So I realized that it was not a possible career, let's say, for me to be a full-time blogger. So I said, okay, I'm going to do something else. You know, when they say to put, I don't know how to say, but different eggs in the basket, mm-hmm. something
yeah,
like
diversifying.
That. Diversifying. Yeah, exactly. And I thought, okay, I'm going to focus on food photography. And I started again. It was just about starting and jumping, you know, trying at least, and that is something that I always try to do in real life, to just try something to see what happens at least, otherwise you will never know what will happen. So I invested in my first course and then I kept investing actually and practicing and practicing and practicing, and then I think it was for my, I don't know, maybe I didn't have a lot of experience and I was a little bit, I don't know if the right term is naive, but I jumped and tried to reach out to some clients and I got my first one. I don't remember when, to be honest, but again, it was just about trying. And I got my first one, and then I started to get a little bit more jobs. And then in 2019, I officially started my business, you know, gradually, year by year. Yeah, that was the beginning. But my past career, if you want to know, is nothing. I didn't have a real career, let's say. The only thing, because I in general, in real life, I think that everything is connected. The only thing that is connected to what I do now is that at the internship that I got at my master, I was in contact with, we worked with a photographer, and she was shooting the food. So I realized that photographing food was a thing. And then after a few years, I remembered about that, and I thought, okay, maybe I'm going to photograph food also. So yeah, that was to sum up what I did in the past few years.
What did you go to university for? What did you study?
I have a degree in economics,
okay,
and management, and a master in tourism economics, because my desire was to work in the hospitality industry. Yeah, but it never happened. So, but I'm not sad about it, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I think that we do learn skills even in things like that we can apply, yeah, especially as an entrepreneur. Are there any things specifically, any skills, maybe not creative skills, but maybe any management skills or anything like that have been helpful for you as a photographer because of that background?
I thought about this a lot of times, and to be honest, I almost lost everything, not everything, but I lost a lot of things that I learned, mm-hmm, while studying economics. But a few things, I still remember them. And I think that the business side, like the, you know, dealing with money, that is something that is still helpful that I learned at university. Mm-hmm. Macroeconomics and all those things, I don't remember about them. I have to be honest. And marketing, some of the things, I still remember them. So I think that I told you before, everything is connected. So a lot of things that I studied are still with me in my head, but a lot of other things are gone. And I have to be honest. But I think, yeah, I told you, everything is connected. So what you do, even though it's very different from what you're doing right now, I think that everything can give you something, you know, that can help you in another type of career, I think.
So, yeah, yeah, it's so hard when you've switched careers, if someone ever asks you if you regret going to school because it isn't related to what you're doing now. But I really do think that you're right and everything is connected. And yeah, I don't know personally if I would be doing what I'm doing now if I hadn't had the previous, yeah, career, even though it wasn't connected.
Exactly. So,
for sure.
And also in high school, I studied languages. That is another thing that I think is connected, because in, yeah, 2019 or 2018, I don't remember, I switched from an Italian on Instagram, I was only speaking Italian, to English. I tried. It was really difficult at the beginning, believe me, because I, yeah, didn't have the chance to practice. And I actually, I was considering my stories, my Instagram stories, as my daily practice to talk in English. But studying English in high school was really helpful. So everything, yeah, again, is connected. And it's helping me right now. Yeah. Also to talk to you in this interview.
I'm so thankful for that, because I know no Italian. So, so it's very good that at least one of us can speak both.
Yeah.
So tell me about your connection with cooking. How did you grow up cooking? What drew you to food?
Yeah, I think that the first love was food, and then photography came. I always like to remind people that, because I really like food, And I think that is essential in our job. Like chefs and cooks in general, I mean, if you don't like food, what are you even doing? I think that it, at least it helps you understand, you know, you can communicate through your photos. And I think that you can also communicate the flavor, the smell sometimes. So if you like food, you like that food, I think that you can also give that food value through the photo, if that makes sense. But yeah, I grew up cooking with my mom, a little bit with my grandma, but not that much. I still remember those days when I used to bake with my mom, and I used to ask my mom if I could bake a cake, because that was really something that made me happy. I still remember those days when I felt sad. I don't know. I was really not depressed, again, because it's depression is another thing, and I want to be respectful. But when I was feeling sad, I remember that the only thing that I wanted to do was baking a cake. Baking was something that I really wanted to do. And one of the first things that I made was actually tiramisu. yeah, that is something that I remember. But yeah, the love of food came first, and then the love of photography. So yeah, a reason why I started sharing recipes on my blog.
So yeah. You have such stunning food styling skills. So what are some things that have helped you work on those skills and grow to where you're at now?
It's an interesting question. And I actually talked about this recently. I don't know when, to be honest, but very recently on Instagram, because I was telling people in one of my captions that, you know, for example, I know that there are books out there about food styling, not many, but I think that the most helpful thing for me was to see what professional food stylists were doing on magazines and cookbooks. Because, you know, when you buy a magazine, technically you should see the work of a food stylist and food photographer, professional food stylist and food photographer. So I think that that is the best way to learn and then practice. And another thing that really helped me was understanding, like, that mindset, not shift, but that little thing that made me understand that food styling was nothing else than composing on the plate. Like, the same rules, not rules, but same tools that you can use when you compose a scene, the same ones you can use to compose a plate. So that was really helpful. When I realized that, I said, okay, I'm going to use texture, I'm going to use shape, I'm going to use curves and all of those things. So yeah, I would say that.
That was one of my favorite moments when I first started. And I was like, because I went to design school, and I was like, wait, it's the same way I would design a magazine, like a graphic or something? This is amazing.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that maybe you also studied at school, like when you studied art at school. Many of those things, I think that you can apply them to your photos, to food styling, to composition as well. Colors are a big thing for me in food styling. I recently wrote a couple of blog posts to help people to style salads and noodle soup. And I realized that the two things that I always do are paying attention to the color palette, like always. Sometimes I also decide the ingredients based on the color palette that I want, especially in salads and noodle soups. Yeah, so I realized that color plays a huge role in food styling, at least for me. And then again, like we said, all the other things like texture, shapes, etc. And then having fun. One thing that really helps, I know that some people are born with it, let's say, others have to train it, is the eye, because I think that many people are gifted, you know, they have the eye, but if you don't, like, if you feel like you don't have it, you can always train it. So if you don't have it, don't worry, you can practice and you can improve for sure. That is at least what I think. So yeah,
I think you're spot on with that.
Yeah.
When you were first starting, were there any mentors or influences or people that you looked up to that kind of inspired you and made you more interested in food photography and food styling?
You know what? I didn't invest in one mentor. Now I wish I did, but I also think that we are all influenced by others. And my main influences are, for sure, a few names that you know, for sure, I'm sure. Bill Ubas, Rachel Korinek, and Bella from Polefield, which is also a friend now. I think that they are my main inspiration. And again, I think that we are all influenced by others. So this is another huge topic of being original. I think that we can be original. I see a lot of original work on Instagram and on other platforms. But at the end of the day, I think that we are all influenced by others, which is not to be confused with copying, of course. For example, I really care about not copying others. If I take inspiration, I always tag the source of inspiration, but I sometimes see a photo and I really like the light, for example, or the color palette, and it really inspires me, and then I take my photo, I reinterpret. So it's all, you know, I'm influenced by other people. The short answer is yes.
I think that's such an interesting topic, and it's something that I've talked about a lot with my mom, who is an artist. And I think that one thing that's helped me is thinking that I don't know if anything is truly original, but I do think we can be authentic.
Yeah.
And finding a way to draw inspiration, but make it authentic to you is, I think, what we're all doing. And it's just kind of contributing more art and in new ways, just interpreting the beauty that we all see in the world. And I think it's so wonderful, especially in the community of photographers that are kind of on Instagram, that there's so many of us who are open to being inspired by others and inspiring others and just kind of keeping that cycle going. I think that's really great.
Yeah. And this is something that it's really hot, I think, at the moment. You know, not copying, but be inspired and being original. And I think this is my opinion, at least, that especially at the beginning, I think that a person has the right to also emulate other people, just to understand. For example, for light or composition, you have the right to copy others. Maybe you don't post on Instagram, but for your, like, as an exercise, as an experiment, it's really helpful, I think. Or if you post on Instagram, again, tag the author, tag the, you know, give credits, but it can help sometimes. So
artists, even, you know, with paintings, they learn through master copies. And I don't think we should hold anyone back from doing that with photography as well. That's how you learn and grow.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
So you have such a great style, and I love watching the new things that you do, especially like your recent series with noodles and things like that, and just the new ways that you push your style. So what are some ways that you stay inspired as you grow on kind of some of your personal work?
It's a very interesting question because I also talk about this with my students, like the sources of inspiration, you know. I always say, I know it's a bit bad, but I always say that inspiration is everywhere. Like literally, I have a screensaver, not a screensaver, a wallpaper here on my computer, and it's a beautiful fall landscape photo. And it could be an inspiration just for the color palette, or nature, indeed, for me is a huge inspiration, especially again for colors. I'm really attracted to colors, for the texture also. But other things like interior design, I didn't think I was into interior design, but lately, in the last few months, I've been really into interior design, also because we have to change house. We will decorate our house and I want to do it like I like, if that makes sense. So I'm really into that in this moment. And I think that is my source of inspiration, like looking around where I can see something that sparks that joy, like Marie Kondo says. So nature, architecture can be something that inspires you, again, interior design, but also if you like to, I think the verb is lift through the pages of magazines, fashion magazines. I'm not really into fashion, to be honest, but that can be an inspiration for color palettes again. So I think that my main inspiration and how I stay motivated and inspired is being open. In short, in two words, being open to what is out there that can give me that little inspiration. Yeah. And also other creators. Like I said before, I think that we are so influenced by other people. Yeah. And I have a lot of folders on my Instagram. For example, for interior design, a lot of folders with inspiration that I'm not going to copy again, but they can be an inspiration for mainly colors for me. So yeah.
You mentioned your students, and I want to talk a little bit about your program in a minute. But first, I want to talk about the idea of investing in yourself, because I'm sure you're very familiar with this since you have your program. So what are some ways that you have invested in yourself, and how have they paid off for you?
Another interesting question. And first of all, I want to say that I've learned that if you want other people to invest on you, you have to be the first one to invest in yourself. Luckily, I was already doing it before launching my program. So I always invested in my photography because it's my main thing in life, let's say. So I started, I told you, in 2018 with the first course, but then I kept buying books, ebooks, other courses, workshop. I just bought a workshop like 5 days ago. It will be an in-person workshop, which I really miss, even though I only had 3 in-person workshops, but it will be very exciting, because I will learn something new. And we are always learning something new. Even though you know something, a topic, I think that you can always learn those, you know, nuance, let's say, of something. So yeah, I always invested in programs, courses, and I also invested in a program to learn how to create a program and sell a program. So that is funny, but it was really helpful. It was my biggest investment in the last few years. It was a few thousand dollars, but worth every cent, I think. So yeah, I think that everyone has to do it. not only photography, but if you think about other jobs, one person has to always invest and be up to date, I think. So if you don't invest in your development, you can stay there. Like, I don't know if the word is steady, but you don't make improvements, let's say. So investing is really important, in my opinion.
I totally agree. So what made you choose to start your program?
That is because last year, in full lockdown, I decided to start giving coaching sessions because I was receiving more and more DMs, and I thought, okay, one message is not enough. So I have to start offering at least coaching sessions, 1 hour, 2 hours. And then I realized that these coaching sessions were not enough. So that was the point in which I decided basically to convert this into a full program, so a complete program. Because, you know, you think that 1 hour or 2 hours are enough to talk about a lot of things, but food photography is a huge topic, like a macro topic with different other macro topics like light, composition, editing, and all those things. And I needed to create something more structured. So yeah, I decided to invest in myself to learn how to create a program. And then I created my program after that. So that was the sequence. Yeah.
That's great. Have you found that being a teacher has also helped you learn even more, especially as you're going deep to create all the materials?
Absolutely. Yes. I was talking to, I don't know who, to be honest. And I said, I've always done everything almost naturally, not at the beginning, but in the past few years, not years, but year or couple of years, it was almost becoming natural, like composition, composing, and color was almost too, like I was almost taking it for granted, if that makes sense. But once I realized that I had to write slides for my students, I had to talk like the voiceover for the slides, that made me rationalize the process. And I learned so many more things that maybe I was not rationalizing or I was not paying attention to, if that makes sense. So it really helped me. And also, I always wanted to be a teacher when I was a little kid. So again, everything is connected. I like every once in a while to think about my past and see, oh, look, this is what I wanted to do. So now I'm doing it. So I'm really happy about that. And yeah, so I'm super happy to be a teacher, to be honest. And I keep learning. I hope I never stop, to be honest. So
I love that. For everyone who's interested in learning about the program, we'll make sure that we link everything about that and you in the show notes. Everyone can find you and find out more about it, because I'm sure a lot of people listening will be interested. So my last question for you, what's your favorite thing to cook?
Oh, well, I have a lot of things that I like, but I told you before, I love baking. And my favorite thing is cardamom bullar, which I don't know the pronunciation in Swedish because it's a Swedish word, but they are cardamom cinnamon rolls or buns. They are my absolute favorite thing to make and also to photograph, maybe. Yeah.
That sounds so magical, like the name and everything about it.
Yeah, it is magical. I don't know if you've ever had cardamom cinnamon buns. You have to make them because they literally make you travel in those beautiful Sweden landscape. You know, I really daydream when I think about Sweden, to be honest. And I've been to Sweden a couple of years ago. It was magical. It's beautiful. And when you, if you close your eyes when you eat those, I bet that you can imagine that you have a forest around you. Because, you know, the balsamic of the cardamom is magical, in my opinion. So that is my favorite thing.
That sounds so good. Thank you so much. This was so great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Manual Mode. For more on Roberta, you can find her at Healthy Little Cravings on Instagram, and you can get links to her program and website and any other details you want to know about her on the show notes on my website, mariahbrook.com. Next week, we have yet another wonderful guest, so I can't wait for that. I will see you here, same time, same place, and until then, keep creating.